Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebbe. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Hour number two, Instigators, and I will say this. I have not seen any of the Star Wars after like the first three of the releases, whatever they are, Marty. It's episode four, Return of the Jedi, and Empire Strikes Back, whichever order.
Yep.
But I am definitely going to watch the rest of them and in the order of release, because it sounds fascinating. Go ahead, Riv.
The problem is when you go back to watch one, two, and three, they tried to do some graphic, like special effect, and it didn't really work. Like we're used to seeing like the bad guys are the white army guys or whatever, the stormtroopers. And we're seeing humans being in charge, and then they go back in time, really. But it's more advanced. The technologies are more advanced. So it's a little weird. They needed to do a readjustment, which they did well in 7, 8, 9 or whatever. But
yeah. Craig, you in? You're going to check this. Family's going away. You're going to have some alone time.
I cannot even believe this. When did they come out? Late 70s?
Early 80s. Yeah. Late 70s, early 80s.
Okay. Yeah. So I remember watching 4, 5, and 6. I do remember this. That I watched, I guess, the first one that came out, the new one. Yeah. I haven't seen anything past that. And now you just took, 5 minutes to explain the entirety of how it all works? And I can't even believe it. This is going to be an incredible watch. Because now I actually kind of understand what's going on. Yeah. And it's really going to be fantastic because I get to watch the, I don't think I'm going to watch the old ones because I remember them.
Oh, you have to,
I don't think I do. Cause I remember though. I remember, you know, Return of the Jedi and all that, but
there's like, so many moments in the movie that you're
three,
like
3, 7, 8, and 9. Let's go.
There's so many moments in the movies that you're like, oh, I forgot this part. Where, you know, Luke is about to be dropped into the sand thing, and he dives. I used to do this on the diving board at my pool. Like, I tried to jump in the pool and hang on to the diving board so I would bounce back up, right? Like, Luke did all of that, and it's awesome to watch.
So I have a quick on this date. Marty, I do want to hear that story. I do want to hear that story, by the way. But I have a quick on this date in 1998. A player announced his retirement from pro hockey, and Craig, all of his roommates and future roommates will no longer have to be afraid. Why? Who is this player?
I know who that is.
Did I stay with him?
He played in the playoffs in 97, 98, and then he quit.
And you were his roommate somewhere, and apparently he had a stretching routine that was not for the faint at heart.
No way. Old Moger.
on this date in 1998, Haney Moog announced his retirement from pro hockey. That's why so, I say all his roommates will be grateful and future potential roommates will be happy to know they never had to cross paths.
What a career he had, too.
Yeah.
Go back to the Boston Bruins, the Edmonton Oilers, Boston Bruins, Dallas Stars, Montreal Canadiens. He was good.
Yeah. Well, tell us about that stretching routine, Riv, right between the beds. Nice and yeah. nude for you, too. Like,
yeah.
He didn't hold back, did he?
It's still in my mind all these years later, but I would have been like 21 years old. I called up and maybe I was 20. I got called up and I stayed with Andy Moog. He was the oldest guy on our team. You know, obviously I had watched Andy Moog, you know, for many years in the NHL. Yep. And my first time staying with him, you know, we were, I was waking up in the morning and I can hear like grunting and this and that. And I was like, oh boy, you know, like I didn't even want to look over there, see what's going on. But, I kind of turned over and I looked to kind of see, you know, like what time it was on the clock on our table. And I look and Andy Moog does a stretching routine every morning, you know, goaltender trying to limber up. The problem is he's got a towel on the ground. He's there naked and he had his legs over his head, if you know what I'm saying. And I woke up to the biggest sunshine ever. And it was like, I mean,
no cloud coverage here, weatherman.
It's the dark side of the moon.
Scarring is all I can say, but
what's that stretch called, Marty, for goalies? Was he between the beds?
Yeah.
So was there a room? Which bed were you in? I mean, so like if we're
I was
walking
in the first one before you.
If you walk in the hotel, beds on the left or the right side?
The beds were on the right.
Okay. First bed, second.
I was
bed.
The first bed.
Closest to the wall, other beds closest to the window.
So what you're saying is he had room between his bed and the window, and he decided to stretch between both beds.
No, because there was like a chair and a table over there. So it was. There is more runway between the beds.
Not a tall guy though, was he?
No.
Okay. Last question I'll ask you. What city was this in?
I don't remember.
Okay. Nor do I remember or expect you to either. Just for clarification. Instigators, WGR.
You'd have to really go down deep in his memory bank and do. Remember the movie Minority Report with Tom Cruise, where you take the dreams, right, and you put them on the wall, and then you start analyzing the pictures and what hotel room would that be in? And
that was just a one-time movie for me. I don't think I'd ever seen that one twice.
I played a really long time with a lot of travel and a lot of different hotel rooms and a lot of different cities and a lot of different restaurants, but I'll tell you, I remember certain
oh yeah
trips and certain dinners but I mean a lot of it was a blur. I mean,
well, tell us about your trip, Marty, to Florida that you were talking about earlier. You don't have to. I mean, you don't have to, but it's always nice to hear some fun stories because Florida was a great place to go.
Florida was a great place to go because early on when the Florida Panthers came into the league and probably up about early 2000, mid 2000, teams did not stay in Fort Lauderdale. Teams stayed in Sunrise, where the rink is, because it's 45 minutes to get there. And in the late 90s, early 2000, you know, when that building was brand new.
Is that the first Miami Arena?
No. I'm talking about the rink in Sunrise right now. Like the Miami Arena was great because you got a hotel right there. It was on South Beach, right?
Do you remember did you guys have hot tubs on your balcony?
I don't remember if we did. I was only there once, but I do remember there was this massive fountain in the foyer. You walked in and there was this fountain with lights and all of that. It was great. It was right there on Miami Beach, right? So, but guys loved that. Like that building was buzzing. It was fun. But then they build this massive ring out in Sunrise, which is 45 minutes away from Fort Lauderdale, and teams did not stay there. So we usually would stay at a really, really bad Sheraton hotel. And listen, I stayed in some good Sheraton hotels, but that one was a really bad one, way out in Sunrise, and we couldn't do anything. early, Jay McKee, myself, and JP Dumont would go to Dave and Buster's and literally spend $100 in like arcade games because there was nothing to do out there. Then teams decided, you know what?
Let's saying is nothing's changed from back then to now. You're still playing video games.
I'm still playing video games, but that's just, but now if there's something else to do, I'll do it. So then teams were like, we don't need to morning skate in Florida. We don't need, let's just stay in Fort Lauderdale. Let's stay on the beach. Let's enjoy our time here. And we'll just go off for the game because morning skates weren't as popular anymore. And with the schedule, you take a few morning skates off here and there. So then we started staying at the Marriott Harbor Beach in Fort Lauderdale. And it was great. It was glorious. You have the balconies, the patios, and you're right on the beach. But you try to go there sometimes a couple of days ahead so that you could have your rookie dinner. Why not? Like Florida is the best place to have your rookie dinner. Take the bus down to South Beach, have dinner, go out, come back to the hotel. Next day you have a practice, you burn it all off, you sweat it off, and you're good to go. Well, I think it was with the Flyers. I know we did it with the Islanders as well, because I remember John Tavares being completely, let's just call him like
inebriated
before the appetizers even got there. Like Tavares, yeah, like Sidney Crosby, like those guys, they really were all about hockey for a long time, that they never got those experiences of like, hey, I'm going out, college buddies and all of that. So by the time we got the appetizers, he was passed out on a chair and somebody took him back. So I don't remember if it was the Flyers or the Islanders, but I do remember this. We came back after that night, and I'm not a heavy drinker, but they give you the, you know, the Louis XIII, like the really expensive cognac and all of that. And I can't do all of that stuff. And now you're coming back in the bus at 1, 2, 3 in the morning, and the bus is shaking, and you're like, oh, this doesn't feel good. This doesn't feel good. I think I may be sick. I'm going to hold it until I get there. And the bus opens the door right in front of the beautiful Marriott Harbor Beach. It has all the flowers in the front. It looks great. I'm like, I think I'm going to make it to my room. I took 2 or 3 steps out of the bus and wasn't going to make it to my room. So the boys, if we had cell phones back then, you would have seen a half Marty, the legs sticking out of the flower bushes and the front end.
You barfed in the bushes in front of the hotel.
That's all there was. That's all I could do. It was not my proudest moment.
Why? What's wrong with that now, Craig?
It was better than in the bus with everybody there.
True.
Or on the floor in the lobby.
What would you rather him do?
I would have rather him be smarter in his choices and try and, you know,
mix in a water.
Just take care of himself. Yeah. Throw in a water there.
That was my, I can't say one time, but I didn't do it too often, but that's one of those that happened. So
sorry, yeah. Craig, he let you down, with your leadership qualities.
Yeah. You know what?
I walked into that same hotel, Marty. It's funny. It's always funny. Stories like this, you know, you might hear about certain names, but after a game, I went out after a game in Florida too. And I ended up rolling in, and Jay and I went for calzones, late night calzones. Lindy gave us the green light, went out for calzones. I've told this story before, but I had a white golf shirt on because we went back to the hotel and changed before we went out, and spilled the calzone. Like, it took a bite and it went all over, dripped all over my shirt. Right. So I, instead of just going into the hotel with calzone on my shirt, again, meant, you know, the state I was in has a lot to do with it. I just thought it'd be better to go in shirtless. So I threw my shirt out of the hotel cab window into the river. It was over one of those little bridges in the intercoastal.
You went over one of the intercoastals.
And there's Jay. I'm walking in into the hotel with no shirt on. He's like, well, what are you going to say? I'm going to say, oh, I was down at the beach and I lost my shirt. You know what I mean? I didn't know what I was going to do, but anyway, Florida.
Well, that hotel
gets you every time, hey, Riff, Florida.
I'll tell you this because we're telling stories. That hotel. And I don't know that teams are still staying at that hotel a whole lot anymore, because maybe too many stories happened there. So that's the same hotel that I told the story about Danny Briere and Chris Drury and Palmer and UPD and all the guys putting my bed and basically my room in the hallway.
Don't say me, because me and Roisey were terrified in our rooms, yes, thinking you guys were going to screw it all up for us, because Lindy was pissed we lost, and then all our captains are out. Go ahead.
No, no, no. They all came in at the right time, and just I came in a little later. So that was the same hotel. That's also the same hotel that, I don't know if you remember, I was with the Rangers, and we were getting ready for the Winter Classic. We're in Florida, and Sean Avery got sent down to Hartford. And he was in that hotel right there. And all the Road to the Winter Classic HBO crew, they're chasing him around. And he literally turned around, and he had a fit, and he got in a cab, and he left. And our trainers are like, where is he going? We got to book him a flight. He's got to get his equipment. They couldn't find Sean Avery anywhere. And he literally flew back to New York by himself. They had to put his equipment on a plane by itself to transport back so that he would meet. That was that too. And then one of the best time that I thought was pretty funny is that we get to Florida, we get the hotel, and everybody's like, on the beach in 5 minutes, beach volleyball, let's do it. So we all start, go put our bathing suit on, t-shirt, hat, flip-flops. We run outside, and we get out the doors outside, and John Tortorella is sitting on a chair on the patio. There was a couple of exits, and he knew where we were going to be. And he's sitting there, and he goes, well, that took about 3.5 minutes for you guys to get down here. I hope you have the same jump tomorrow night when the puck drops. Enjoy it. So he planted the seed of, like, you're already guilty that you didn't even do anything wrong, but you're guilty for the next day. Like, he planted that seed early on.
You got to appreciate the old school coach, that is already thinking ahead.
Oh, for sure.
The best story, and I'm not just saying it because it's Scotty Bowman. I wasn't on the team, but the best story is when I think Scotty Bowman, and Marty might know how the story goes, but gave a doorman or a bellboy a stick and said, hey, can you get all the guys to sign the stick when they come in? And so Scotty Bowman, I think, gave it to him at like around curfew. And then after he goes upstairs and the next morning, all the guys that came in late signed the stick.
Yep.
So those are all the guys. So
that's a legendary move.
Oh, basically, like, he said, yes, it's for charity. I need this stick signed for charity. Can you get the guys to sign it when they come in? So he goes up to the guys and he says, hey, Mr. Peters, Mr. Rive, can you guys sign this for charity? Absolutely, bud. Hey, Joe, it's very nice. Yeah, you sign it. Sure enough, it's for Scotty Bowman to see who came in late after curfew. That's legendary. Legendary.
Now, I could never.
If you're smart, you sign somebody else's name. Like, I come in and I sign Craig Rive 52. And
oh no, sign the other goalie's name, so he's definitely not playing, right?
Oh, definitely.
Whatever happened, you know, I don't know why we're on, but I want to stay on Florida, because I don't. Whoever put the Viagra in Soupy's bag for the drug dog to sniff out?
So that was Jim Pizzatelli, basically.
You ever hear this story, Riv?
No. You have to. Yes, you've heard that story. Have. So we had this thing where Pizza knew a couple people in the K-9 unit in Fort Lauderdale, Sunrise, and said, if we win, let's have this thing happen. And Lindy Ruff is on it, and Darcy Regeer's on it. Everybody knows. So he basically put a bottle of prescription pills in Brian Campbell's bag at the end of the night. Say, hey, Soupy, my bag's already on the bus. Can I put this in your bag? I'll get it on the plane. Soupy says, no problem. And then as we're pulling out the bus, in Florida, you're in the back parking lot. It's like fenced in. So they open the gate, you go to pull up, and all of a sudden the cops come in, the lights and everything, and the bus stops, and we're all shaking. Like, what is going on? And they bring the dogs out. They're like, open the doors. And they open all the partition underneath the bus. And they knew to pick the bag with the 51, right? That's Soupy's number. So they got the bag out, and then they came on the bus, and Pizza was sitting next to Soupy, so they knew exactly which one was Brian Campbell. So they make the dog sit right next to Brian Campbell. And at that moment, I thought Brian Campbell was as white as a ghost. He went outside. They drilled him for literally 15 minutes. Darcy came out. They yelled at Darcy to get back on the bus. Lindy came out. They yelled at Lindy. Our bus driver's like, what do I do? And, like, literally, we could see Brian Campbell, like, his face was melting. He's sweating out in the parking lot. He's, like, on the verge of tears. And that was one of the best prank I think it was ever pulled in all of hockey. That was awesome.
Couldn't have been on a better person.
Well, that's because Soupy used to play pranks on everybody else, but he loved giving it, but could never take it. Like if you just, he would hide my pads. I it'd take me a long time to get dressed. And then I'd do my skate and my tape and I'd be like, where are my pads? Soupy'd be like, I'm already lost his pads. He's going to be late on the ice. Soupy, seriously, I need my equipment.
He did that?
Oh, yeah. He's like, he I did? Don't know what I you're had talking
no idea
about.
He did that stuff. I had no
so
idea.
Then the next day, I hide his sticks. I put his sticks away. And he's like, who took my sticks? I got to go work on my shot. What are you doing? Like, he's crying. Like, he could dish it, but he could never take it. So the fact that we got this with the police. Listen, and all it, of it,
come on, guys.
I don't even know him that well. I played with him for a short cup of coffee in San Jose. He got traded there.
He told you, do not touch these sticks no matter what.
He didn't tell me. He didn't tell me.
It's said right on it.
So you know how Soupy
caution tape around it.
Right? You know how he tapes his sticks. It literally, I watched him tape his sticks, and one knob takes 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, he stood up after doing three sticks and three of these knobs. 45 minutes later, I sat right beside him, and you know, I already taped my sticks. It takes me like less than 3 seconds. I'm just watching this guy because I don't even know him. I'm just trying to get to know him. You know, I want him to make him feel comfortable with the team and stuff. And
so you stare at him.
So I stare at him.
Big grizzly bear.
Don't. I said, your sticks are too close to my stall. You know, just let's have some boundaries right away, me and him. But he got up after 45 minutes of doing these sticks and he called a little meeting. Or a little like, hey, everybody sits there. They don't know this guy from a hole in the wall. He gets up in the middle of the room and says, no one, I mean, no one touch my knobs of my sticks. It's the one thing I'm going to ask. Don't touch the knobs of my stick. And we're all like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, super.
It wasn't like a follow-up, like, okay, guys, like, because I'm really superstitious.
No, it's not because it's superstitious. Nope.
I know what it is. I'm just saying there was no explanation as to why.
They were fluffy knobs, and as soon as you put your hands in it, they kind of cave in, right?
So, well, he molded it to his glove. Didn't he put it on with his glove? Yeah.
Anyway. So go on. Know. And he gave everybody the don't touch my stuff and blah, blah, blah. And it went on and you looked around at everybody and everyone's like, oh yeah. Okay. Thanks. Soupy. This and that. He walked out of the room and I squeezed those knobs so hard. I squeezed them. So they were so
welcome
flat.
To the team.
And then I put the sticks down and I walked out and I went and did some treatment and stuff like that. And I could hear him in the room. He was hooting and hollering and this and that. And you know,
I think some of the we're going to go to break, but I think some of the most entertaining days of my hockey time in, well, mostly Buffalo, but some, I don't think I never played with Roisey in Rochester, were Soupy and Roisey going at it. Just shot for shot, verbal shot for shot. Like you wouldn't believe it. It was some of the best throat cutting. Roisey is ruthless. We'll be back. Instigators, another half an hour here. Stick around. More to come. WGR 550 MSG.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, welcome back, Instigators. Andrew Craig Marty, WGR 550 and MSG. Craig, you want to just read what you just told us at the break?
About what?
About St. Louis?
About what we have just been talking about for the last 2.5 minutes.
Well, there's just a rumor. It's talking about Matthew Tkachuk wants out of Calgary and wants to play in St. Louis.
And you got that where?
NHL rumors.
Okay. Well, .com. I mean, that could be a guess, but I mean, that's an awfully good assumption. I mean, isn't that where he's from?
Yes.
Doesn't his dad work for them? So, I mean, yeah, I totally get it. Why wouldn't Tkachuk want out of Calgary? I'm not saying Calgary is a terrible place to play. That's not what I'm saying, but why wouldn't he want out of Calgary? You know, there are some places guys just, you know, don't want to play because it just, number one, geographically, it doesn't make sense. Number two, I get it. Some guys love Calgary. Some guys don't. Some guys are from the U.S. They don't want to play in Canada. Some guys, you know what I mean? Like, there are a number of reasons.
Why would Calgary ever want to trade Matthew Tkachuk to St. Louis, though?
Well, if they had something to give, but like, they don't. Like, are they part?
Tarasenko, is that something that would interest Calgary?
No, Tarasenko's 29 years old and has been hurt and not, you know, $7.5 million two more years. No, that would have to be, okay, well, let's look at Jordan Kyrou. Let's look at Robert Thomas. Like, come on, send me like your best young players for Matthew Tkachuk. Like that, I don't think St. Louis could ever put a package together that would be close to what maybe some other teams could do. What about Ottawa? Imagine if Ottawa said, let's package some of our young players. They have a lot of young players and a good crop of young players. Let's package them up and have Brady and Matthew play together in Ottawa.
You don't think it's part of the plan to get them to St. Louis? Both of them?
It can't.
At some point, somehow? I know they can. I know. I'm not saying they can. I'm just saying you don't think that everybody would want that? But Ottawa, as...
I think it'll be quite interesting to see with the contract for Brady Tkachuk. He will be the captain of that team.
Ottawa's going to have a good team. Ottawa's going to have a good team. And if you're Matthew Tkachuk...
How did they build that team, Marty?
They built through like trading all their expensive older player and acquiring picks and young prospects.
That's right.
Started with Eric Karlsson.
Those young guys are what's going to drive Ottawa forward.
Although, you know what they did? They tried to do the Matt Duchene trade and acquire Matt Duchene and all of that. That didn't really work out. So, you know, they traded Kyle Turris away, acquired Matt Duchene. Didn't really work out. So what they say? They say, we're going to trade Dzingel, Duchene. We're going to let them all walk away and rebuild. And it's worked out pretty good for them.
And would you say that they're further along in their development than what people would have thought?
Yes. Yes, I would say that. I think they played hard last year. Now, that whole Canadian division and the way it was set up, I think it was beneficial to Ottawa because they are a pain in the neck team to play against when you play them 4, 5, 6 times, right? In a short period of time. Like it's the same guys. Like Tkachuk is on you and you've got – you know, Connor Brown, who somehow like is having a fantastic season, and they wear you down a little bit. I don't know that they would have had the same success in the regular settings where you play, you know, two games against a team and that's it. because you may not have the time enough to say, man, these guys, they bug me. But it worked out well for them. They surprised me. I thought they were going to be way last, and I thought Detroit was going to be right there, and that didn't happen.
The Tkachuk family business is doing very well, I can tell you that. What the hell is Brady Tkachuk going to get for a contract? Like, that's going to be a pretty monstrous deal.
Well, it's going to be very monstrous.
I would think his number has to start with like a...
Eight?
A minimum. If you're looking at...
Player in- okay, well, let's compare him to what Sam Reinhardt got as a bridge deal. Sam had the same numbers.
Can't even compare these two again.
I understand what you're saying, but... Okay, so let's start with that. That's the bottom end, the low end of the comparison. Let's look at what a bridge deal would cost them. They gave Thomas Chabot in Ottawa a ton of money. They avoided the bridge deal. They gave him $8 million. So
do they regret that contract?
I think they regret going to $8 million. But would $6.5 million or $7 million would have been a good number? Probably. So... you know, in the end, you took a shot, right? And you may have overpaid maybe $1 million or $500,000. But
you're talking about a 23-year-old, 22-year-old player right now in Chabot.
Who's still playing, has 6 years left on his deal.
Exactly. And he's playing how many minutes a night?
28.
He's one of the top players. So when you look at $8 million, are you paying him too much?
You are paying him too much now, but you won't in 2-3 years from now.
So the deal was set up that way. Usually in these types of deals, when you sign a player to an 8-year deal, a very young guy, usually what you're doing is the first couple years are the transition years, and you will get your worth in the last 5 years of that deal.
The only problem is now you have a flat cap and a pandemic. So the salary cap and the salaries are not going to go as high. So when you thought you were going to be, you know, saving $4 million and think that Chabot was going to be a $12 million defenseman compared to other $12 million defensemen in the National Hockey League, there's not going to be $12 million defenseman in the league coming up here because there's no room for it. So
I ask you guys a question that's Tkachuk related, but it's semi-hockey related, but it is hockey related. What's the cutoff date for late birthday?
September 15th.
September 15th. And the reason why I know that,
I wonder if Big Walt planned this because Matt's December 11th and Brady's September 16th.
Yeah, but here's the problem. If Big Walt would have planned it better.
Rivs, you're thinking about it, aren't you?
No,
I was September 13th.
Yeah, but Rivs.
I missed the draft by 2 days to go in the year after.
You would have been first rounder.
I had 19 goals and 74 points as a defenseman in the OHL in my second year.
Yeah.
That would have put me in the high first round.
This is the difference between Tyler Johnson and who's the little guy that was here in Buffalo, plays in Edmonton now, that had the sauce.
Ennis.
Tyler Ennis. The difference between Tyler Johnson and Tyler Ennis is one was a late draft pick and one wasn't. Okay, so one got an extra year to value themselves and ended up a first round pick, but they were the same thing. Their stats are the same. But correct me if I'm wrong, Rivs. For youth hockey, most people would say that it's more beneficial to be born in January or February because you have a year more of development, especially in your early years, compared to the September, October, November, December kid, right?
Definitely.
Like if you're playing squirt hockey, peewee hockey,
when you're a kid, like when you're like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, you want to be a January birthday because there is a massive difference between a January kid at age 8 and an October kid, you know, in the same year.
Who's 7 for 8 months, but then turns 8 in October.
Very much
or whatever.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
Riv, you're going in the first round for sure.
PD's doing his stats.
I mean, the 93 draft, you're going first round. Like,
well, where in the first round?
Who cares?
Well, I want to know if he's a top 10.
He's first rounder right now, and by the time we get back from break, I'll have him in the top 15.
Okay, who was 93 draft? Who was first?
The Daigle.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Alexander Daigle. Sorry,
oh, so
Craig,
that's the draft in Quebec City.
You're not going ahead of Pronger. That's Chris Bratton, Paul Kariya, Rob Niedermeyer, Victor Kozlov, Jason Arnott, Nicholas Sundstrom. Pretty good players, by the way. Todd Harvey. Jocelyn Thibault, Brendan Witt. You might have had Brendan.
Let me tell you, Brendan Witt went
11. He
went 11th overall.
You guys are very similar.
And when he was drafted, he had 2 goals, 28 points, and 239 points or penalty minutes in 70 games. 2 goals, 28 points, 239 penalty minutes.
So
if I remember correctly,
I had 19 goals. I had 19 goals, 74 points in 64 games, I think it was.
Yeah, but Rivs, if I remember correctly, because I was at that draft. It was in Quebec City. I went to the draft. I stayed until Quebec picked Jocelyn Thibault. It was great. And then I stayed for the Montreal pick. And if I remember correctly, Montreal picked Saku Koivu, right, in the first round that year?
20th, yep.
So, unfortunately, 21st. If you would have gotten the first round of that draft, you and Saku would never have played together, and that beautiful friendship would never have happened. So, things happen for a reason.
Still would have been a first rounder, so you can't put a price on friendship. I'll tell you that. Marty, like, honestly, you know, just to say you're going the first, but Riv, you're going ahead of, you know, Mike Wilson.
There's Kenny Johnson that went 12th overall.
But he was a high prospect. He was like supposed to be top 10.
That's crazy. Good stuff. Riv, you're first rounder, man.
Yeah, sure.
You're first rounder. Had you gone into that draft for sure. All right, we got to go to
current
break.
General manager of the Sabres, Kevin Adams, was a first rounder, 25th overall that year.
I hadn't gotten down that far.
Yeah,
but he's a forward, so we're not worried about
him. He was drafted to Boston and then went back into the draft 2 years later, I believe, right?
Because it says he was drafted just once, and then he ended up with Toronto.
Oh, you know what he didn't do then? He didn't sign and then just sign as a college free agent with Toronto.
Yeah. Well,
Kevin Adams had some insanely sneaky points when he played for Miami University. You know that, eh?
Oh, yeah.
In his first year in 41 games, he had 17 goals and 33 points.
Yep.
In his second year in 36 games, 15 goals, 43 points. His third year, 20 goals, 49 points. And in his last year, he had 17 goals and 47 points.
Have you done any homework on who any of his teammates were, Craig?
Like
name one player that went to Miami University that you know.
Brian Savage.
There you go. That was his teammate in 92-93. We got to go to break. Instigators, WGR Sports Radio.
Brian Savage, 37 goals, 58 points, and 38.
I know. I saw that. Maybe pass the puck, eh? Throw a few goals the other way. Instigators, we'll be right back. Final segment coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back with more of The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, welcome back. We welcome in Krista Rive, the boss. Is she there, Craig? Can we bring her on?
Nah, that's not going to happen.
Negative.
So some final things here. Maybe Craig will or will not care about. Gretzky shows off his lacrosse skills. Did you guys hear that he is buying while he was awarded the 15th franchise in NLL history. And he was a lacrosse player growing up, from what I understand. But and those of you who don't know this, a lot of people are mistaken. They say Canada's national game is, they think it's hockey.
It's not.
But it's actually, now it's a, it's I think like 10 years ago, they made it a co-sport, but it's actually lacrosse.
Yes.
Is Canada's national game.
Well, it was, I had family, my dad's aunt married a First Nation, into First Nation in Quebec City, and they would play lacrosse. And I went to see like their league, and it was fantastic. Like, it was awesome. Like, lacrosse and the First Nations and everybody in Canada just like developed the sport to another level. Like, it's just great.
Well, here's the ownership team. So Wayne, no last name needed. Steve Nash, one of the greatest Canadians ever. I think he's a greater Canadian than Gretzky, to be honest with you, because he won the MVP in the NBA, which is, as a Canadian, which is insane. And I'm just joking when I say that. And golfer Dustin Johnson. Craig, when you said D Johnson, I thought you said, I meant Don Johnson from Miami Vice back in the 80s. Yeah. I forgot about that relationship.
That would have been cool.
Gretzky's
too,
son-in-law, by the way.
Yeah, Gretzky's son-in-law.
Yep.
So I'm telling you, this is the sport. This is a growing sport. Well, it's been trying to grow forever, and it's, I'm telling you, best bang for the buck. Best in terms of entertainment. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but
NLL. Go to the Bandits game. I'm telling you, it is a party. It's fast. It's great. It's entertaining.
What do you think Vegas is going to be like? Vegas is going to be unbelievable.
I remember going to the Rochester Nighthawks back in the days. And then now there's another new Nighthawks team in Rochester. But it used to be so much fun. It was, like you said, it's a happening. It's a cool time. It's 2.5 hours of party atmosphere. It's great.
This could be one of the biggest things for that league.
Yes.
For sure. Happening in Vegas. Yeah. Quickly, Michael Russo says on a radio station that he's hearing Jack Eichel definitely needs neck surgery. He said that's what he's heard from other GMs. That's what's being reported out there. So interesting stuff on that.
Why is that a surprise? I mean, haven't we already known that?
We've known from Darren Dreger and Elliot Friedman for 2 months that, you know, surgery was the likely path, but they were waiting the 12-week period. We heard from Jack and he wants surgery. It's just a matter of which surgery. So that's, it's not a surprise.
I don't know. Maybe the news is delayed. I mean, I thought it was old news too. That's why when I'm hearing this, I'm like, wait, does that mean Jack is having
surgery? Michael Russo is a Minnesota writer.
Yep.
And so now that the Minnesota Wild has kind of entered, Jack could go to Minnesota. He's doing his homework. So he's reporting something that I believe here in Buffalo, we have known now for 2 months. That's kind of where I see this.
But I will say this, though, and there's a good point here. If Jack does get traded and doesn't have the surgery, there should be some kind of a penalty in favor of the Sabres. Don't you think? Like, all this hold up over surgery, and then you go somewhere else and then you don't have the surgery. I mean, I would feel like that would be unfair for the Sabres, as we have 20 seconds left here. So we'll talk more about that, and who knows if any more information will come out between now and tomorrow. Stick around, check out Elliot Friedman and Darren Dreger. They're our hockey insiders. We're back tomorrow. Marty, thanks for your stuff today. One Bills Live next. Instigators, thanks for tuning in.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.